One of my favorite things to do is to hike. I love the mountains. And I'm a bit jealous of people of you who grew up in the mountains, but it's just what it is. One time I went to the US, to Zion National Park, with my family, and I knew there was this beautiful trail. It was called the Angel's Landing. And here you see it. So early in the morning I woke up, took the bus to the trailhead. No one wanted to join me because they thought I was a bit weird about it. This rock formation is 450 meters high. It rises above the canyon floor. And halfway the trail, this is your view. You see this beautiful rock formation with sheer drop-offs at both ends. And I love it. So luckily there are still chains attached for the hikers to navigate on this narrow track. And when you reach the top of Angel's Landing, the view is just amazing. You have this beautiful view over the canyon in Zion National Park. And to top that, I saw two California condors soaring on the wind just below me. It felt like I could almost touch them. It was amazing. On these moments, on the mountaintop, what we sang about, I see the beauty and the splendor of our God, our King. It's just breathtaking. You may hear this story and you may see this picture and you think, no way, not in a million years. This is not something I'm gonna do. Luckily, we are here in Groningen now. We are not very often confronted with heights. But still, when you face your biggest fear, it just takes over. It controls you. You cannot take any other step. Anxiety, worry, fear, it is real in our lives. Question for you, what keeps you awake at night? What makes you worry? What are you anxious about? Maybe you think of your finances, bills you need to pay, relationships you have with your spouse or your family, friends, your health. Will I get better? Will I heal from this sickness I'm dealing with for a long time? Maybe deadlines at your work, when you need to perform, study deadline, thesis you have to write. All these things can keep you awake at night. All these things can cause you anxiety or fear. We are faced with it every day of our lives. When we are exposed to high levels of stress, we have certain coping strategies. So it's not my first language. So this coping we have, we learned when we grew up. Maybe it's you freeze and you go to your corner with your blanket and your book, or just pretend nothing is there. Or you're gonna fight, you become angry, you're gonna shout, you're gonna do whatever to make this feeling go away. Or you flight. You flight and you just try to escape into addictions or whatever. For me, lately, I've heard so many people I love are going through suffering or hear terrible things, and then I'm like, I freeze. I'm paralyzed. I'm like, oh no, and this is what happened the last few months. Okay, I'm always crying when I'm on stage. And while thinking about it, about your worries, your anxiety, what I do is I bury my head in the sand. That's the easiest thing to do. Because when I do so, it's not there. If you have a sheer drop off and you see it and you focus on it, then you're overwhelmed by it. So suffering in this world is overwhelming me. And still, I'm so positive and peaceful, and I don't understand. I don't understand how you can have suffering and all these newcomers who people don't want in this country. A colleague of mine lost people, like, people are very dear to him. Like, the last 3 months, three people he lost. And you're like, how? Why? How can we bear all these things? How can we go through all this suffering? So lately, I've buried my head in the sand. And while reading this passage over and over again, I am like, oh no, yeah, I know God. I need to look at you. I know it. So let me take along. Like, how can we deal with all these worries and anxieties? Jesus is redirecting our attention. He's redirecting our attention to God, our Creator. God, our Father, who created this beautiful world. He says, don't be anxious about your life. Yeah. Look at the birds. Just look at them. These teeny tiny birds. Or these huge condors that are almost 3 meters in wingspan. See them soar on the wind. See them fly. They are not thinking about sowing and gathering all the crops in their farms and whatever. They are made to fly. And look how God cares for them. Look at the wildflowers. Look at the beautiful grass. Last summer, love it. I stepped on thousands of these flowers in the mountains. God made them so beautifully. They're thrown away like it's nothing, but still God puts so much attention in these flowers. He so beautifully created them. Look at God who created this beautiful world. The first thing God blessed while he created were the birds and the fish in the sea. First time we see that God blessed something was the birds in the sky and the fish of the sea. God bless them. And then look at yourself. God created you in his image. God created you because he wanted in your mother's womb, in his image. How much more does he love you? Therefore, he says, because you see the love of the creator of this creation, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we wear? What shall we drink? You have a Father in heaven who created you and knows you. He knows your talents, your desires, your positive sides and your bad sides. I love to hide them. It's not always possible. But he just loves and cares for you just the way you are. He just knows you. Jesus says here in this passage that people who don't know our Father, they cannot walk, they don't know how to walk with Christ. They don't know how to walk with Jesus. They don't know that Jesus deeply loves them, cares for them. So they have nothing to hold on to. When they see danger, when they are anxious or worried, or when I get anxious or worried and when I'm not walking with Jesus, I'm going to start to focus on my fear. I'm going to start to focus on this huge danger that's in front of me, on the suffering that I'm facing. We live in a wealthy country, and 42% of the population experiences anxiety and depression. Depressive thoughts. It is a real problem in this country. So the scripture starts with, therefore I tell you, don't be anxious. What is there for you? You cannot serve money and God. You cannot look to your own certainty in money and serve God, your creator. You need to choose. But when we look at God, when we look at our creator, then Jesus gives us a coping strategy that is helpful. Here he says, yeah, he gives a strategy that is helpful. He's not only saying, don't be anxious. He's saying, prioritize my kingdom. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. It's seeking. It's not, it's a process. It's not have the kingdom in your hand and hold it tight and be at the finish. No, it's seeking. It's a daily process. We can seek him daily. It's not something we can, it's not a result or anything. But what is this kingdom that Jesus is talking about? When Jesus was baptized into Jordan, the heavens opened up and the Holy Spirit ascended on him like a dove. And God said to him, you're my beloved child in whom I'm delight, or my son, I don't know the exact words in the NIV. Here you see that heaven came to earth. Jesus proclaimed, the kingdom of God is near. He prepared his people. He said, the kingdom of God is near. And then when the heaven opens up, you saw the power of God coming, descending on him. After that, he was tested in the wilderness. And when he came back, he performed all kinds of miracles. Blind could see. Deaf could hear. People were healed. People were raised from the dead. The hungry were fed. Jesus is capable of giving everything we need. The kingdom of God has broken through. On the cross, when Jesus died, he overcame darkness. He defeated all the powers of this world. Money has no power anymore. People who say they have power don't have power anymore. It is Jesus who has the power. When he rose from the dead, he came back to life. He was victorious. And then he ascended to heaven, and now he is enthroned on the highest throne. We have a king, and he is king on his throne. That's amazing. And I forget about it so often. That's so annoying. Echt irritant. We are invited to live out of his power. Why I'm crying is because, like, my mom is going through a chronic illness or chronic pain. Now someone who is treating her is here in the room as well. And I'm like, I was so scared to pray for her. I was like, she's now ill for 2.5 years, I guess. And I can pray for everyone or so, but for my own mom, because I really want her to get healed. But it doesn't happen, so I just don't pray. I stick bury my head in the sand, because then it's not there. Then I don't have to worry about, will it be okay or not? Oh, jongens. Really tough. So I so often focus on my own strength. I want to control things. I don't want to be let down. So then I focus on my own strength and how I should do things. But we have a king who is enthroned and who is giving his power and his healing. And light will break through in darkness in every situation. And what is righteousness? In Isaiah 58, we read, and it's going to be a long passage, 6 to 12. It's not on the screen, so you can open it up in your Bible. Is this not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, to set the oppressed free, to break every yoke. Is not to share your food with the hungry, and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter. When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I," the King, Jesus. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land, and he will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters will never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. It is amazing what God is doing here, or what the prophet Isaiah is saying here. He's inviting us to care for one another, to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter. He's making it really practical to us. Let us not focus on our fears. Do I have enough? Will it be okay? All this distraction. But let us share from what we have. Let us find justice. The kingdom is a kingdom of justice. Let's fight for the newcomers in our country who are looking for shelter. Let's heal broken relationships. Let's share our food with the hungry. Our self-centeredness will shift when we do these things. We will not focus on our own pain, our own worries, our own things. We will open ourselves up to the wholeness and peace of God's kingdom. Because when God's kingdom comes, it comes in with shalom, with peace. We will be made whole. As you saw, I get overwhelmed when I dive into this. So it's sometimes hard to do so. And I hoped I wouldn't cry this morning. But often, when I'm more like frozen in my being or bury my head in the sand, often then I also focus on the control I have. I want to be in control. That's what I love. But in God's kingdom, he's not inviting us to be in control. He's saying, "I'm king. I am on the throne. I know what you need. I do care for you." I'm like, "Yeah, but I'm not enough, and I don't do it well enough," and all these things. But then he says, "No, look at my love for you. Jesus is here on the mountainside. He came to earth as a baby. He walked life with his children. He's on a mountainside teaching his followers the Sermon on the Mount. Isn't that love? Isn't that grace?" His words are so radical. The last few Sundays I've been a bit shaken by how radical Jesus is. I like to soften it to make it a bit more easy when I talk to other people, but he's really radical. But we always need to start with his love, with his grace. And he's very clear about the worries of today. I'm so thankful that we have a father who is honest about the hardships we endure, the suffering. I don't know sometimes what to say to someone when he or she is going through suffering or experiencing injustice. Jesus doesn't say, "Oh, don't worry, be happy." No, he's saying, "Today has enough of its own hardships, of its own troubles." He's not wiping it out, but he says, "I will be there with you on this narrow path. When you are afraid, when you are going through suffering, I will be there with you." And he gave us to each other as a community. He invites us to share our worries and our anxieties, not to focus on it, but to bring it to Jesus. To say to Jesus, help me with this. Let's cast our cares on him. And he will fill you with his peace that's beyond your understanding. And this peace, I'm so thankful I have it. So sometimes I'm saying to myself, okay, all these things are happening and still I experience this peace despite all this in my life. There's still this peace of God that you cannot explain, but that he wants to give to you. So if you don't know Christ yet, if you don't know Jesus in this moment, if you don't know how to walk with him, he's inviting you. He's saying to you, come, and I will give you rest. I want to get to know you. I already know you, but you can get to know me. He's inviting his followers to walk with him in this process of seeking the kingdom and seeking his righteousness. Eat one step at a time. You don't have to perform or be a certain Christian or be a certain follower. No, you can take one step at a time, one day at a time. This passage really helped me to check in with myself. And this is like, I read something out I wrote in 2017, and it was seek first the kingdom, and then it was like, yay! And then my life is just like waves, continuously waves. And now this week I was diving into this, and I thought, oh yeah, I just need to check in with myself and ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, please help me to really see what's going on in my heart. And then I need to look up at Jesus and say, Jesus, this is what I have right now. These are my worries. This is what I'm struggling through. And I need to start with his love and his grace for me. And then I know that Jesus is king. He rules his kingdom, and this kingdom has broken through. It's already here on this earth. We are still battling the kingdom of this world. It's the reality of today. We await the kingdom to fully break through, and we pray that it will come soon. But I'm trusting in his guidance and in his words and in his provision. So I want to encourage you this morning. God is listening to you. He knows what you need. He does care. Don't hold it back. Don't freeze. Don't fight. Don't flight. But seek. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all else will be given to you. I want to pray, and let's invite the Holy Spirit. Let ask the Holy Spirit, please check in with me, search my heart. And when we search our hearts, let's bring it to him. And after that, we will invite the prayer team and the worship team, and we'll hopefully you can do something with this message. But let's pray. Yes, Holy Spirit, come. Thank you that you are here with us. That when Jesus ascended to heaven, thank you, Jesus, that you've given us your Holy Spirit. That the kingdom power is now in us. Lord, we want to ask you to search our hearts. What are we focused on? Jesus, help us to bring the raw reality to you. Help us to be honest and open about it, to not hold anything back. That when we see the real danger in this world, things that are very real, that we don't focus on that, but to focus on you. our King. And Lord, I pray that when we search our hearts, that you, Holy Spirit, fill us, speak to us, heal our brokenness, heal our wounds, comfort us when we go through suffering, bring justice,